So here's how we do our Queen's Club. It is office hours. So you just raise your hand, and I'm going to get through as many of you. This is like turbo coaching. You guys know, don't bring your backstories. I don't care what happened to you when you were a kid. I don't even care what happened to you yesterday. I want to know why you made the choice to feel what you're feeling right now or to do what you're doing right now. And that will tell me all the things. All right, Judith, you're first. You had your hand up fast.
Hello, how are you today?
Hello.
Okay, very quickly. I have heard you share many times that we are to do 100 consecutive plans and then see if we've not lost weight and get back to you. I am on day 95.
Okay.
Of consecutive plans. And I'm just sharing this because on day one of my 95 plans, I was 205.8. Today on day 95, I am 206.9.
And so what is your 99 plans told you as to why you haven't lost weight?
And that's what I was going to share. It's not that doing the plans is important. The plans are important, but the really important piece is doing the 24-hour assessment afterwards. And I have not been good about that. So on September 1, when the new planners come out, I am going to be ordering my new planner because I like the layout and because I need the 24-hour assessment. So that's my only comment to everyone today is, yep, you got to do the plans. They're important. But without the assessment, they're worth very little.
So why don't you just go back and assess now? You have 99 to look at. What are you noticing?
I am noticing that for me, when I actually go back and go, oh, I ate, let's see, we'll go to day one. It is amazing, though, that keeping the data made that much difference. And I was surprised. But like on day one, when I did my 24-hour assessment, it was like, did I accomplish my three goals? Did I follow my plan? Why or why not? And it was like, for example, following the plan, why or why not? Yes, I did. I didn't eat a donut or have the Coke because I wasn't hungry and they were on the plan. I drank water and enjoyed the time alone with Liam, who's my grandson, at Cakes and Pastries. That day, I knew I was going to watch him play soccer in the morning. I knew we were going to the bakery afterwards, and I had on my plan coffee with creamer, bagel, donut, and Coke.
Okay.
And I had a bagel before I left the house and my coffee, but when I got to the bakery, I was like, I am not hungry. I bought him a donut, but I didn't have the donut. And because I knew that on day one, when it's bright and shiny, that I was going to do the assessment afterward, it was like, oh, that's really good. Okay. But then we start getting to, let's see.
Give me last week's.
Last week, there was no assessment.
Yeah, but like, but you can do that now. But I think what I'm trying to say is you have 99 mm-hmm. and now you can like, if you don't want to have to wait till September 1st to start assessing and stuff, well, I just start one at a time going backward. And like saying, this is what I ate, this is what I planned. And then start like taking guesses. You'll just see patterns. You'll see like, oh, I notice it. I typically overeat at night, or I typically overeat here, or these kinds of things. I mean, you could go back and do that now is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I can. And actually this week I have started with some of my, with brief assessment. So I need to go back and do more of the detail. Then I fell away from putting in goals.
Yeah.
And if I don't put a goal down, I pretty much come home eating out. Eating in the evening is not a big deal for me. But what becomes the big deal without the goals for when I come home is I come home, I sit on the couch, I watch TV, I play my computer games, and that's it. And that is not, while it's not contributing to overeating, it's not necessarily the most healthy lifestyle to keep me moving to where I want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I would just go back through. I mean, I just want to give you kudos for doing the 99. And I would just like, I would go back through and just like, instead of getting on the computer at night,
right.
Go through a few of them and be like, all right, so for this 7-day period, what did I learn? And then do and I would start with the most recent and work my way back.
Okay.
Because probably what will happen is after you've done like 3 or 4 weeks of like looking like, what are the patterns? You'll be like, oh, okay, this is why I'm not losing weight. I'm either choosing these kinds of foods or, you know, I notice that very often I'm eating healthy, but I'm not really paying attention to my hunger scale. Like, I have a lot of people that do that. Like, they just kind of like, but I eat good food and stuff, but they're not truly paying attention to their hunger scale. And so it's like, oh, you know, I got to layer that part in now. So just take a look at it. Be good. Okay. Congratulations, though.
Thank you. I was excited. I really was. I was.
You like, should be.
Where? What am I looking at? And I really have lost. I mean, obviously, I've lost at least the 25. But you know, looking at it, and thank you for putting out there how important the data is, and yes. That I guess my comment to everybody else is, you really do need the data. It seems yes. like. I don't need this. I know it in my head and that kind of thing, but we really do need to write it down to get the data. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And enjoy the new planner. I'm going to tell you, I keep setting it down. It's everything. I'm using it and loving it. And just like, I thought the old one was good until I started using this one. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. I had used the old one. I joined in January. So I had it then. And I did it for the 60 or 90 days that I had it. And then I was like, well, I can just do this in a notebook. And I did. I was doing really well for a while. And then I fell apart from that. Obviously, you know, that I've already shared. But looking at the new one, I was like, oh, that's it. That's
yes,
it.
Yes. So it's going to be a good one.
I'm going to print off some pages until September 1, but September 1, yes. I'm ordering it, and I will see you at camp. So thank you very much.
I was just doing some work for camp. That's so funny. All right. We'll see you later.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Okay. Ivy, you're next. Okay. Then we'll try to get through as many of you as possible. Hello.
Hi, Corinne.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just getting ready to work more on camp after this.
Awesome. You're always working.
What are you needing your coaching on today?
I need some help leveling up, getting to the next thing. I've been hovering around close to goal and haven't gotten there yet. And I'm telling myself I'm no longer binging. I just have overeats. And I think my issue is, as always, it's my thinking. And I'm trying to create like a goal thought and some ladder thoughts I need help to come up with.
Okay. Where are you at now? Like, what thought needs to get laddered out?
Yeah. So my poison thought is that, like, I love dessert and I can't resist dessert. And dessert is my difficult thing. That's my poison thought.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said, that's just terrible.
So I feel like I can start with, you know, I'm noticing that I'm thinking that dessert I can't resist. And then I get stuck with, okay, where do I go from there? Because I don't really know what my goal thought would be.
Is it even true that you can't, I know you want to, like, think a new thought, but have you even questioned the validity of it yet?
Well, I know it's not true.
How do you know it's not true?
Because I resist sweets all the time. All the time.
Why do you keep saying resist?
Yeah, that's a horrible thought as well.
It's not even that. It's like you're talking about this as if it's so hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably because you're resisting instead of like just being like, is there anything wrong with desserts? Or why do you need to resist them? What are they doing to you?
They prevent me from weight loss.
No, they don't.
My thoughts about it do.
How many people in this tribe do you think eat desserts on a regular basis and lose weight?
Oh, a ton.
Yeah. So desserts, like, I want you to be like, because I know you are really good at the thought work. And this is what happens to a lot of us when we're really good. Like, oh, I know a thought, except the sneaky ones. Like, well, it stops me from losing weight. Like, I would have bet if I'd asked you, like, is that true or not? Well, of course, that would be a circumstance.
I know it's a thought.
Intellectually, right?
Yes. But when I'm trying to, half the time I feel like I can sit with discomfort and sit with an urge and just be fine. And, you know, and the other times I don't. And I.
But is the dessert what's keeping you from weight loss?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. It like you keep reinforcing that you need to resist and it's going to be hard, as if like sweets do something to me.
Yeah.
That's where the first, I think the first thing has to be is sweets aren't doing anything but sitting there.
Okay. How can I level up that thought to the next step?
Sweets aren't doing anything but sitting there. You have to get neutral with sweets. You're anything but neutral because you have so much judgment over them.
Yes, I do.
And this is why I know that you haven't gotten neutrals, because like as you describe sweets, you immediately go into judging them.
Yeah.
You understand those are thoughts, but you like your circumstance though is like, how do I feel better about something I know is a problem? That's the model you're trying to create. And that's why we're not ready for the level up yet.
Okay. Because I have such black and white thinking about it. And it's like the whole concept of foods not being good or bad. Like I struggle with that. And I've done thought downloads about it, and I'll write it that, you know, food is neutral. There's no good or bad foods. But in the back of my head, it's like I'm still thinking that that's not true. They are good or bad foods.
Why is it not true?
Like,
tell me a bad food.
Desserts like sugar and flour are foods that are only exceptions and are not on my protocol.
But that doesn't make them bad. That makes them exceptions and not on your protocol.
I know.
When you think they're bad, how do you feel?
I have a lot of thoughts about that. Part of it is like when I do indulge in sweets, I feel kind of rebellious. And
you think they're bad, but you're saying I'm indulging.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Like we've got to lower the temperature on all of your thoughts around it. Like you've got, when I'm indulging in the sweets, rather than a cupcake on my plan, I will be eating a cupcake. Like you've got to start describing all of this super boring. You describe it as if it's a villain and it's out of control time in crazy times, or resisting, not having because you're a good girl.
Yep. This is true.
Yeah. And it's none of that. You're not good or you're bad. It's a cupcake. You gonna have it or not, Ivy?
You make it sound so simple, and in my brain, like, doesn't want, I don't know. I can't think of like a phrase or a thought to think of that makes it neutral for me. It just still seems so, it's good or bad.
Well, in the beginning, you have to like just talk to it neutrally. You have to know, like your brain is like wanting it to be a problem. And I think like you have to be like, and it's okay that my brain thinks it's a problem. I just want to step into, I'm thinking it's a problem. It's just not a problem. You're going to have to practice neutrality thoughts, practice neutrality, watch your language around it. Like when I say like, you know, when I indulge in the sweets, I just can't, even the way you say it sounds very judgmental of yourself.
Yes.
It doesn't sound like when I say like, girl, I'm having wine on Friday. I'm not like, I'm indulging in wine on Friday.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, I'm going to have wine Friday. I'm going to get up on Saturday. Maybe feel like ass, but get back to work.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think of it so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to move you out of. It's not I don't want you looking for ladders and bridges and complicate. Like, I feel like you're really complicating it all. I just want you to get to like, notice when you plan a sweet.
Okay.
And then your language around it. I want it to be binary. So like, when is the next time you're having a sweet? When is the next time you're going to have some sugar or some flour?
Well, I'm having a very big birthday this week. And
which one?
I'm turning 50.
Ooh.
So I know. So because there's a zero at the end of my birthday, everyone has decided to celebrate. So I have a party at work, a party with my family, a party with my extended family, a party with my girlfriend. So I've got 5 parties this week.
Okay. So you got 5 parties this week and you're talking about it like this is, we're going to be peeling back the fingernails one at a time, one party at a time.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm telling myself I don't want to gain weight this week, and I'm just gonna
don't gain weight this week.
Yeah,
but I will tell you the best way to not gain weight this week is not to sit there and think that turning 50 is a problem because there's going to be sweets. I bet you could go to every party and have a sweet at every single party and lose weight this week.
Okay.
I mean, like, tell me one party, girlfriend party. What's happening at the girlfriend party?
The girlfriend party is the one I have least control over. My one of my best friends, our birthday is a couple days apart. And so we always celebrate every year together. And her boyfriend is creating a birthday party. So the one birthday party with the girlfriend is not my birthday, it's her birthday.
Okay.
And it's at a restaurant in Berkeley, and I don't know what the food will be or.
I love how you described it. It's the one I have the least control over. This is the one they're going to make me eat. They're going to tie me down at the table, Corinne. Did you hear about it? Some kind of weird birthday celebration. What if you have total control the whole time?
Yeah. So the interesting thing is I have no problem going to a restaurant not knowing the menu ahead of time because I'm so used to eating on my no sugar, no flour protocol that usually I can find something that's healthy. And if there's nothing, I can even fast. I don't have any problem with that. But my brain goes, oh no, it's going to be a birthday party. There's going to be dessert. And that's going to be difficult to resist. So my thinking right there is horrible. So should my thought be like, there's going to be dessert there? And like, I don't even know how to make that. Well,
I think you've got to start deciding that there's no resistance. You talk about sugar and flour as if the only way to not have, you have not yet once said, I choose not to eat it. You talk about, this is my protocol and the rest of it is resistance.
Right.
You're not doing the protocol right if it's jack-loaded with resistance. Are you still in Scholars or are you just with me now?
Just with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I only did Scholars in 2017 and then 2 months in 2018.
Okay, so let me ask you, from what you remember from Scholars, was resistance ever part of the plan?
No.
Is resistance ever part of my plan?
No.
Okay, this is where we got to do our work.
Yeah.
I want to know why you're no sugar, no flour. Why are we still, you did this in 2017 and then you've spent 2.5 years, I guess, in resistance. Why are you still doing it?
There's no sugar, no flour. I enjoy it's easy. Okay. It's gotten even easier over time.
Okay.
Originally I did it because, Brooke suggested it at first for weight loss and I was following her program, but, I was diagnosed with, I have all the blood factors for rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay.
I'm at the stage before symptoms. And so because of all the autoimmune issues, and just for the health benefits for, you know, autophagy and just getting to be metabolically flexible, with intermittent fasting, it's so easy for me.
So knowing all of that, those are all amazing reasons. I'm not trying to get you not to do no sugar, no flour. I'm just making sure your reasons are right. Those are amazing reasons. So why is it when you decide to have a little dessert or something, why we have to go into resistance? Why are we thinking it's going to be so hard rather than I love being no sugar, no flour. And every now and then I just have something and we're done.
Yeah, that That's my goal. That's where I want to be at.
Why are we just not there now is my question.
Well, sometimes I am. Sometimes I've gone weeks where I have my protocol every day. It's not a problem. On the weekend, I'll go out with my husband for a date night. I'll plan a dessert at a restaurant. I'll eat it. I'll be done with it. Back on plan. No problem at all.
Okay. Well, tell me when the problems arise, though.
The problems arise. Okay. So it's honestly when life happens and I'm under a lot more stress. All my life, I've always turned to dessert to make me feel better. And then I'll revert back to those old habits. And I have, once I'll eat off plan for the day and I'll have like one thing, my brain immediately goes, okay, well, now that we've had the one thing,
yeah,
F it. And it like opens the window and I'll start an overeat. I'm not going to call it a binge. And then every time I have one of those, scale goes up. And then I'm like losing the weight for next 2 weeks. And then just the back and forth. And I've like been so close to goal and I haven't made it yet.
So are you spending a lot of time working on overeating and binging and things like that? Or are you spending time on like, on this day that I was particularly really stressed and stuff, you know what? I'm not even going to work on the overeat. That was just my action line. What set that up? Let's work on that. Let's get all that cleaned up.
You lost me.
Okay. So I want you to put your overeating on the action line.
Okay.
Okay. And then what I want you to do is I want to know, do you spend more of your thought work time working on no sugar, no flour, overeats, your relationship with food, all that stuff? Do you spend a lot of your mental energy there? Or are you like, you know what? I had this overeat like last Thursday and I ate all these things. That's like the most least interesting part of all of it. Why did I eat to begin with? What was going on that day? Where can I track it back to where I need to do my models? Where do I need to like figure all of this stuff out so I can quit creating the environment for the food?
I'm doing a little bit of both.
Like if you had to weigh it out, would you say you spend more of your time modeling and thinking about your life or modeling and thinking about your weight loss and your no sugar, no flour, and all those things?
About 50-50.
Okay. Honestly. This is what I think needs to happen. And I see this a lot, especially with people who are like in your state where it's like you're this close. You have, like, who are you? What are you if you are never allowed to process overeating and think about your weight ever again? If half of your life is now, your thought life is spent there and we take it away, what's left?
Everything else.
Yeah.
There's always problems in life to deal with and there's always
right.
The next thing.
But would you be comfortable with that being removed and have to have all of that stuff now?
I want to say yes.
But it's fine to want to say yes, but would you? Like, I'm just going to say, I don't know if this is true or not, but I see this happen all the time. I have friends that I coach on this. And one of them was like, no, because the other stuff that's left is not that great either. Like, this has become my hobby. Hmm. Like, I'm so used to working on it.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of working on it. I'd rather work on my other problems. I've got a whole bunch of other problems to work on.
Okay, then what if for the next month, whether you overeat or binge or do what, no matter what happens, no matter what happens birthday week, all the things, you're not allowed to work on it.
So, but I'm still like writing my plan and assessing and doing all that?
I don't know. Would you be doing it from a place of, I need to do this? Or are you doing it from a place of like, this is my lifestyle. It's not a problem. It takes me 2 minutes a day.
It's my lifestyle. It's not a problem.
Okay. So I will give you 5 minutes a day where you can make a plan and you can assess. That's it. Everything else is off the table. Even if you overeat. No processing overeats anymore. you probably know why you do them at this point.
Yeah.
You probably know, like, I'm going to tell you right now, you know the thoughts you probably need to be assessing, accessing. Like, I don't get to do it for a month. I'm going to take that buffer away. To free up all this time to work on your life that you just said, I want to be doing all this. Like, all right, well, let's just do it.
Okay, wow. Okay.
I'm going to tell you, it always sounds like, oh, of course I would want to do that until it gets taken away and it's like, that was a pacifier. You know, you just removed it.
Huh. I did not even occur to me to do that, but I'm willing to try. I've tried all kinds of other stuff already.
Is there anything I need to know that comes up for you when we're not doing that? Let's clean it up before we get started with it.
Okay.
So we have 5 minutes a day that we can deal with food. When those five minutes are up, and that includes like all of it, thinking about how we're going to plan exceptions, and we don't get to think about how hard desserts are. Like all that has to be like, oh, nope, not this month. We're done.
So if I have an overeat, I just ignore it. No recovery worksheet. No.
Not unless it fits in that 5 minutes.
Okay. Because in 5 minutes, I can make my plan. I can assess it the end day and do my habit tracker.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a habit.
Wait, I would just set a timer on your phone each day, do your stuff, and then like, oh my gosh, I've got like a minute and 43 seconds left. If I have an overeat, I might squeeze a recovery worksheet in, but I got getting time.
Okay.
Here's why. Because it will force you to start doing more work on the bigger things. Because you said no sugar, no flour is who you want to be, that it makes you feel better. You've got all the medical reasons. You enjoy it. It's easy. It's all the things until life happens. And I've never coached you on life. I have always coached you on this stuff.
Yes.
Time to start working on our life. Okay. Because if that is what, like, something happens, thoughts and feelings have got to get worked out, because right now your automatic response is let's eat. And your automatic response is, if life happens, I have a shitty thought, I feel terrible, let's process. I want you to learn that when your feelings come up that you don't like, we don't run away, we run into it. Give it a try. Post in the Queen's Club about this.
I'm not on Facebook.
Oh, fuck. Well,
yeah.
Ask coaches.
Sorry.
It's all right. I always like watching all the, like, because other people can help you and stuff. Are you sure you don't want to just be on Facebook and be in the Queen's Club and, like, have no friends?
When I was in April camp and people were trying to encourage that other women just to get on Facebook, and they said, just create a fake name and get on Facebook just for P&P. I like considered it. And then I got home and I haven't done it.
Why do all this alone?
I have an accountability partner, and
okay.
Well, I'm still communicating with the same group that I was in April camp.
Okay. I'm not going to make you get on Facebook, but oh my God. Like, especially like in Queen's Club and stuff, you have a lot of people who understand the model. You have a lot of people who really get all this work. You have a lot of people who binge eat and stuff, who can like help you work through things. It's just like something that you can work on, but don't worry about it. Just do what you're doing. Do like we agreed. If you need help, go to Ask Coaches on it. And then the only other thing is I want you to do is, you're still this month going to think about sweets. I want your one and only goal to be like, it is not a problem. It is not an indulgence. It's not good or bad. Just be like, my goal's neutral. I'm either having sweets or I'm not. That's the end of it. Like, we've got to like quit spending so much time and energy on this, because you're like feeding the fire that it's a huge ass problem. Yes. We've got to get it to where it's decisions. Because then you can start seeing patterns in the decisions, and then you get to work on your life and you get to do all that stuff. But we have to quit sitting around trying to figure out how we want to think about sweets.
Okay, that last 1 minute of what you said to me was perfect. I need to like repeat that recording in my head over and over and over again.
And thank God we recorded, because it didn't, like one time last year, like we had an epic coaching call and it didn't get recorded. That's fine. I'm watching it right now. Awesome. Okay, lady. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Somebody's like, I'm laughing so loud about why not just be on Facebook? Because we know Facebook solves all problems, right, y'all? That's me going straight to the action line. Just go on Facebook. All your problems will be solved. All right, Miss Bruner.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you see me?
No, I just see your picture. Oh, wait, here we go. All right.
Okay. All right. I have a question about the Don't Stop Believing. So,
okay.
It's just a little backstory. You know, I've done like numerous 5Ks and 10Ks, and I've done 4 half marathon, but I've only completed 3. The 3 that I completed, I say, is because my trainer did it with me, but it took me 6 hours. My longest one was 6 hours and 19 minutes. And then the other reason why I completed is why I was allowed to be completed was because they had a full marathon going. You know, you get 4 hours to complete a half marathon before they pull you off.
That's bullshit. Okay. My race is very different.
Okay.
My race is really, like, I'm paying a company, and I just said, I just would like for you to know we don't have a finish. They're like, what? I was like, last person that comes in, that's when we wrap the shit up. And they were like,
well, I wouldn't do that to anybody because it takes me a long time. You know, like I said, it took me 6 hours and 19 minutes to complete the half marathon.
That's not the longest one. Do you know who has the record for the longest one?
Half marathon?
Yeah.
No. You do? Not for a half marathon.
6:31. I did it with my mother.
And okay.
And they did close the race down. And we walked through really amazing parts of town by ourselves with a paper map.
Okay.
And we made it. We took shots of Yeti at mile 11 because she needed that, and a little, like, I think she took Vicodin, maybe. I'm not sure. She was in a lot of pain, but we made it.
So, okay.
As long as you can beat a 6:31, I'm good.
Well, I don't know what my knees can do now, because, I mean, the other thing is I did most of this stuff that I'm talking about when I had lost the 170 pounds. So I don't know what I can do now, but I was intrigued on the last coaching call. And you've been dropping some truth bombs in these calls. Really been enjoying it. I was intrigued with the last coaching call you did when you was inviting her to do the Don't Stop Believing. And I was like, well, maybe I can do the 5K. I don't know if I could do it, but I was interested in it.
Well, here's what I do know. So the amazing thing about my race is there's no cutoffs.
Okay.
Zero cutoff. We don't cut anybody off. And we have like a lot of course support. And you really get to choose any distance you want. So when you start, it's literally an out and back. So you start people, and then as you're walking or running or whatever you do, your PNP people are coming the other way. So it's very much, it's just us. It's a greenway. It's not even on streets.
It's
by a river. It's in the trees. It's all the things. And then, like, let's say that you start and you say you want to do the five, say you want to do 3 miles, and you're like, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to walk another mile and then I'm going to turn around and come back. You get to do that.
Okay.
Like, no rule. Like, we literally have no rules.
Okay. Okay.
You know, don't pop birds at your fellow tribe members. Don't do that. Other than that.
Okay. All right. So I said I'm going to shoot for it. I feel like I can, this sound manageable, because it's like, I think it's May of next year.
May.
So yeah. I can probably do a 5K by then.
Oh, yeah. You can train for a 5K by then. No problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. since camp?
Yes.
30, since camp, almost 30 pounds.
And then, all right, yeah. So Which camp was that? April?
April camp.
Okay. And what is your target to, I know you're trying to get to Century Club by October. How much are you from that?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make the Century Club because I had to lose, when I was 10 weeks away, I had to lose 43 pounds and I've only lost like additional like 4 or 5 pounds since then. So I don't know if I'm going to make the Century Club. It's 7 weeks.
Do all you can.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. We're going to be, I'm going to be sad if you don't.
Well, I will be there and I'm trying hard, but I don't know realistically.
We're taking pictures with the Century Club at this one.
Okay.
Like with me, we're going to a studio and having pictures made.
Oh, wow. I'm doing all I can to get there.
Yes. Every time that you may not want to follow your plan, I just want you to be like, this will never taste as good as standing there with Corinne and the other Century Club winners. Like I just,
okay.
And if you don't make it, it's okay. But I just want you to know that is out there for you.
Okay.
You guys are going to spend the afternoon with me on Friday.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right.
Okay. Bye, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Hermie. We're going fast. Good. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
Did you get home okay?
Yeah. There's no canceled flights this time. Oh, my flight schedule. It was good.
That's good. Well, what are we coaching on? We were just together for a weekend.
I know, but this is just like a kind of thing to check. About, like, so obviously when you get like more successful with like being on plan and staying on plan and like your binges and stuff, if you had like the kind of, I had the old habit thought that binges are bad or all feats are bad, which is kind of my new thought. It's kind of like the same thought but on a different thing, like circumstance. Mm-hmm. So like how do you keep from going into like your old cycle of shaming out and the self-judgment when like the events, like there's a longer gap in time between them, so like you go like 2 to 3 months between binges, because then you kind of stop thinking about making mistakes and you kind of fall, you don't fall into that old trap.
You don't fall into like, it's not, I think the first thing is that it's all of you do this, you have this belief that like, well, you're going to fall into the old trappings of your thinking, or this is just going to happen. It's like, no, what always happens is you will have a binge and it will always be a circumstance, period. That's the only thing that can ever happen, is you've created a circumstance and you get to decide how you want to think about it. Now, a lot of you think that, well, but Corinne, my old shitty thoughts come up. It's like, yeah, that's okay. Just because they're old and shitty doesn't mean that we have to feel them and believe them. It just means your brain is like, old behavior, old thoughts. Go ahead.
Like, you can like remind yourself, because I'm not sure if you should do like a TDL like weekly or every day, even when you're doing well, then to be like, this is the process. At some point, I'll make a mistake or I'll have an offie or a binge. But I don't know if that's a good way to think. Like,
I think it's just like inviting bullshit. It's like, have you ever watched the Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
It's like sitting around going, winter's coming. Like everybody's paranoid about winter. And it's like, you guys are like wondering why you're paranoid about an overeat. It's because you're sitting there going, overeats are coming. Like, I better brace myself. I need to like prepare myself for all this, as if it goes back to, because it's a bad thing. This is like, no, it's not working. It's like, let's not worry about all that bullshit. Let's just be like, keep reminding ourselves. Overeats and binges, once they happen, are on the sea line. It's now neutral. It's not a bad thing. It's not coming. It's not anything. I would just tell myself like, hey, I may or may not binge, but it's not going to be the end of the world because it's a circumstance. I've been practicing for a long time.
Story though, like, you know, like the longer is in between them, so the better I'm doing when they happen. I always go straight back into that old story And I do always still believe that story initially, and then it'll take me like I didn't have any 3 months, and then I had one, and then I had.
Let me ask you this. If every 3 months, let's say you worked for me, and if every 3 months I came up to you and was like, I'm giving you a raise, would you be sitting in between every 3 months going, raises are coming, I better prepare myself? And if I didn't give you a raise in 3 months, would you be like, something's wrong, I didn't get a raise, it's like the 3 months? It would be like, here's a raise, decide how you want to think about it. Here's a binge, decide how you want to think about it.
Okay.
Like, if people quit believing that your binges are a problem, then when they happen, they won't be a problem.
So should you practice that then, or just like?
Yeah, binges are not a problem. Overeating is not a problem. It's a circumstance. Just practice
that kind of every day, because that's why I feel like you do well, and then it happens, and I still like.
But you're not doing well is the other thing. So it's the other side of the coin. You think when I'm binging, I'm doing bad, and when I'm not binging, I must be doing well. You know what you're doing on the other side? Another circumstance, not binging.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that never falls. Right.
I would like really watch how that thought, and Ivy, I hope you're still listening, how that thought's serving you. That's when I'm doing it well. No,
yeah, I'm not. I had a lot of some similar things with her. So her coaching call was quite good for me. But yeah, I think I should just like, I need to make both neutral then, when I'm on plan and when I'm not on plan.
Yeah, I'm on plan and I'm like, I think for both of you, this is a really great exercise. I'm either on plan or I'm off plan. I'm either eating the things or I'm not eating things, whatever. And I'm not allowed to think about it any more than that. I mean, can you imagine if you're not solving for your binging all the time, what you would be thinking? Like, you'd probably solve the world's problems. Both of you. Highly intelligent women.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't know if I should do what you suggested to her.
Try it. Can't hurt anything.
Yeah, I was thinking of maybe doing it. So I might try it as well.
I really think for some of you, when it comes to, especially when it comes to eating disorders, it has become your life's work. It has become the things you think and obsess about. And you think, oh, if this just goes away, then life will be so much better. And it's like, what if you just start working on your life and just let it kind of sit over there as something so uninteresting? It's a chair.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to try it. I'm just going to think of it as like data. Like, if I just do that part for the data to see if I did my plan. And then I'll just work on the self-love, because I started doing that before Saturday and stuff. And it is helping and stuff like that. So I'm going to focus more on that side then.
Yeah. I just think, like, I don't think that, like, if you're having, you know, binges, I think it's fine to say, like, okay, I'm going to see, you know, what thought patterns and stuff come up with this. This wasn't bad. It just means
I'm not really binging. It's more, like, little offbeat starting in. But then I had this thing where I didn't plan to, but I didn't eat any sugar or flour for, like, nearly 2 to 3 months, and then I had some, and then the urges came back, and I had to go through the whole process of allowing urges. So now I'm gonna have like sugar and flour maybe 2 to 3 times a week planned, and then just manage my urges. So I've done that a bit more, and we did that tedious worksheet thing at camp, which was good. Well, at the weekend, that was good, so that helped me and stuff like that. So I'm gonna do that every time I have the sugar and flour now.
Yeah,
see it goes. But and like, I've been on more on plan and stuff like that again, so it's not as bad. And I've been doing a lot more of the self-love style and stuff, so that has
been. I would really focus on the self-love. I think for you, it's a lot of self-love stuff for you. Like, I just want you to think about it. Man, if I just really doubled down on loving myself and got to where I really liked myself and stuff, do I think I'd still want to binge?
Yeah, because like, the most of the off plans were result of self-judgment, so I need to work on self-judgment a lot. And then the shame came back a bit, so I did watch my first original coaching call, and I realized it was the exact same pattern with an overeat now, so I had to like start it again. But I was like, well, that's the same thing, at least it's gone down from binges to overeat, so it's progress in the right way and stuff. So I do see the progress now. Before, I always think it was all quite bad and stuff like that down the pan, but I did it for a little bit, so I'm not in it as much. But I thought, I need to do that kind of preventive thing. But you're kind of right. That's like Game of Thrones a bit weird. Yeah. Like then winter's coming. But I'll do that. Try that thing you said to Ivy.
Yeah. I think just fasting on your obsessing. That this must be bad.
Yeah.
All right, lady. Good call. Okay. Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
Angie. I'm just going in order how y'all raised your hands, guys. I'm going to get through as many as I can before 3 o'clock. I'm not sure if somebody was asking about raised hands. Hey, how are you?
Hey, girl. Hey, I'm good. No anxiety right now.
You're my panic attack girl.
I'm your panic attack girl.
I love that call. I was like, no, we're not going to go eat.
So crazy.
It was so good. It was so good. I loved it. All right. So
it was funny because we talked about it like in the free group and I went in there and I saw that and I was like, oh, it's me. I'm the panic attack girl. So right after that call, when I got through telling you how excited I am and how motivated I am and how I love doing my plan, in the rabbit holers, we, in my Marco Polo group, we decided to make some plans and kind of do our thing where we wanted to have goals. I'm echoing really bad. Is it echoing on your end?
No, it's fine on my side.
Then I'll ignore it. So we wanted to make goals for December 31st.
Okay.
It could be weight related. It could be health related, whatever you wanted it to be. And so I am 393. I was 392. And my goal was 350 by 1231. So it breaks down to 2.4 pounds a week. Completely realistic, completely doable. And then suddenly I found myself eating off plan, not checking in as much.
We're not going to talk about it that way.
Right.
Today I'm on a tear. There's no, I found myself.
No, yeah, definitely. So I'll
rephrase it then.
Okay.
I want you to, I want your mouth and brain to hear the way you need to be describing it.
Gotcha. Okay. So I then started choosing to eat off plan. And I kept coming on, and normally I check in with my group 5, 10, 15 times a day. Like, we're on there a lot, all of us. We become very close. I started not coming on very often. I was on 2 or 3 times a day, and every time I came on, I was like, you guys, I'm such a douche. I'm eating like an asshole. And with just negative and nasty, like, yeah. It was,
like, we're going to stop that as of now. Next.
Yeah, well, I did. I love games. Games make me really happy. All kinds of games. Card games, board games, computer games, phone games. That's kind of my go-to thing. I used to use it to feel better when I was having a panic attack. Now I use it because I love games. I just always have. My kids are not gamers. My husband's not a gamer. My oldest kid is a computer gamer. So just recently, Chelsea asked me about a month ago, hey, Mom, I want you to learn this game that you hate so much. League of Legends has been torture in our house. My kids live by it. And so when we say, hey, we need to get stuff done, and they're like, hold on, I'm in a game, I want to just kill everybody. So I decided to try to learn it and got totally sucked in. Totally understand where they're at. And
making your goal.
Right. It became everything. I was not every day. I was disappointed when I was assessing my plan, and every day, did you complete your 3 goals? No, I didn't even look at my plan. I was playing games. And so 3 days ago, I realized it, mentioned it in Marco Polo, and the girls were like, yeah, we saw it. And I was like, well, fuck, nobody told me, but I did realize it.
Tell you?
Huh?
Is it their job to tell you?
No, not at all. But that's what made me laugh, because I was like, well, everybody else thought, where the fuck was I?
Oh, okay.
But I did catch it. And so 2 days ago, I readjusted. I listen to a podcast before I get out of bed, because that sets the tone for my day. And I've told myself I can still play the game and I can still do that, but I have other things to do first.
Yeah. It's the same mindset of the weight loss. If you plan, you just decide how you want to show up for your life. And like, you know, is playing games before I do my 24-hour plan going to get me to my goal? No. So I will do my goal work first. I'll do my plan work first. Then I can have games. I mean, it's just a, like, when you don't think of things as problems, it's just like, logically, this is probably how someone who's going to make their goal would get there. This is how they would do it. And then you just start doing what they would do.
Right. And I guess I was kind of confused how I went from 2 days prior on a call with you telling you how excited I am. And I love every minute of this program. I love doing my plans. I love just hanging out with it and, you know, doing all of that. And so I don't feel like setting a goal like 350 by 1231 was something that scared me or stressed me out or made me feel any type of way.
It was just a circumstance. And you had some thoughts about that one.
But I didn't feel like I did, other than excitement. So I don't understand.
But then you jump to some other model. That model didn't have anything to do with anything.
Okay. That's what I was wondering, because I didn't feel like the two were connected, but it happened at the same time. And so then I was like, okay, is it a coincidence that I just went off the rails with a game? Or was I
exactly what happened? You're an overeater, right?
Like the anxiety, but I actually, even while I was eating off plan and being shitty to myself and talking crazy and not doing what I needed to do, I was still eating 2 to 2.
Okay. Well, I'm an overeater. So let me just say, I'll use me as an example. So I'm an overeater. And when I take away overeating and I do something like a game, I'm going to have the same neural patterns. So like when we overeat or when we eat, like, you know, our favorite foods or whatever. Like, let's say I go downstairs and I decide, you know what? I'm going to have chips instead of my salad. I'm going to get a bigger hit. It's almost like snorting Coke versus, you know, drinking a Coke. There's drinking some soda with caffeine and then there's like a line of cocaine. Well, when you're an overeater, the food is almost like it becomes like a cocaine thing. It's like, it's so immediate, so pleasurable and all the things. But then when you kind of go to start eating 2 to 2 and you start eating healthier, your brain is now getting dopamine from feeling good about yourself. But it's never going to be as intense and it's never going to be as charged up as overeating will be. Well, insert a game. Games have, this is why some people get addicted to games. Because it's like, ooh, I want to finish this. I want to win. Like your brain starts lighting up. You're already predisposed from your past that certain things. That's why a lot of times when people quit overeating, sometimes they become over drinkers. Or when people like stop overspending, they start like smoking. Like there's like their brain is looking for hits.
Something else to
think that's all that happened. I don't think this is something you got to like unwind or anything. You just need to be aware that games gives you a good hit.
It does, yeah. For sure.
So you're going to want to manage game time just like you've got success with managing your food. That's that's what you've learned, is that it's like, oh, okay. Like I need it's like people who binge out on Netflix. Like oh my God. I'd rather watch Netflix and I'd rather binge watch a show than work.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, I cannot wait till we get done in the evening. It's like, oh, what are we going to watch tonight? You know, like I can feel the excitement in my brain, but the agreement I have with myself, that shit doesn't get to start till this shit's done.
Yeah. And that's what I've been back to. That's what I've been back to the last couple of days. I just, I love every minute of this. And I realized I was like, wait a minute. Like I was actually, I think the reason I was going on and being saying like, oh, I'm such a douche and da-da-da, is because that is truly how I felt about how I was doing, because I love this and I want to be a part of this and I want to be successful and I love games and I want to be able to play them, but I also want to be able to exactly that, manage it just like I am the weight loss right now. And I wasn't. And because I wasn't, I was really tearing myself apart about it, but I was spending my day playing games and then I wasn't taking care of things. So I wasn't cooking dinner. And then it was like, well, fuck it. We got to eat out then tonight. Oh, fuck it. Now I'm off plan. And I actually had one, just one, thank God. But, one day where I did not plan and I did assess that day, but I didn't make my plan and that pissed me off too. So I am back on track. I'm re-energized and refocused. And I did tell myself, though, because at first I'm an extremist. So at first I was like, no fucking games, bitch. None. Can't do it. You're not doing it. We're not having it. And then I was like, that's not realistic, because it's something I love and it is a joy hit for me. So
you want to think about it like there's playing games and then there's over gaming. It's just like for like when we think about there's eating and there's overeating.
Right.
What I teach you guys with the basics is just to have a normalized relationship with food. You know, we're going to have, you know, you're going to plan what you want and all that kind of stuff, but we're going to have like the normalized eating relationship. But if you're not on top of it, you're not thinking about what you're doing, a lot of us are going to go back to overeating. Same thing can happen with gaming. It's like me and TV. Like I can over TV real easy. TV is my big thing. It's like, I really enjoy vegging out in front of the television because it turns my brain off and everything. And it's fine when all my other stuff is done. Then I'm like, it is not that you earn it, but it's like, okay, this is how you have these things you enjoy in your life and you get the result you want, rather than having the things you want in your life and you're like using it as a way to like zone out of other things. And then you're not getting the result you want.
Exactly. Yep. You know that, Mama.
That's a good call. You keep working hard. Tell your daughter I said hello.
I sure will. She is in phase two. She is like, I don't want to fucking make a plan, but she's still making them and she's still losing. She had a little gain a couple weeks ago. It was her one and only one. And I think that derailed her mentally a little bit. So I'm trying to work with her to get back on track, but she had a little loss this week. And so she was happy about that and she's going to be amazing.
All right. Y'all keep going. All right. Okay. Brave new girl. Wait a minute. No, yeah, that's right. I think it's keeping you guys in order. I'm watching it. I think it is. Okay. Oh, yeah, it did from earlier. Let's see. I'm unmuted.
Are you here? Oh, yeah. You're here. Oh, good.
So what are we coaching on?
So I have been stalking you. I missed the call. And then I sat in a parking lot one day for another one. I've been seriously like stalking her. I'm like, I need to see Corinne.
That's hilarious.
Well, I'll go fast. Okay. I maybe just need a bigger coaching call, but I need to know if there's a problem with my plus two. How many hours should you go before you get hungry again?
It depends on what you ate. It's not the amount of hours.
Yeah. So I'm the one who has the 684 plans, 612 followed, and I'm up 20 pounds since I met you. And I love all the things I'm doing, but I'm still missing the weight loss.
Okay. What is the quality of food you're eating first?
My protocols.
Like, tell me what you ate yesterday.
Yesterday was coffee, half and half, usually a big ass salad. I had baked Lays, blueberries. Yeah.
Okay. And what else?
Lots of fats. What do you want to know? What's in my salad? Or
no? Like, so you got up in the morning. You had coffee with half and half.
Yeah.
How much half and half do you use?
I splash it till it's light brown.
Okay. And then you moved into a big ass salad
for lunch. Yeah.
Okay. And then you had baked Lays with the salad, or was that later in the day? Or
I had Lays with barbecue meats for dinner.
Oh, with dinner. Okay. All right. It sounded like it was a snack. Okay. And then anything else yesterday?
I had one planned beer.
Okay.
And dark chocolate's on my protocol, so I'll have one or two squares of those a day.
Okay. And so all of that's planned?
Yep.
Okay. And then do you feel like you're eating past two, or do you feel like you're eating two a two?
I still can't find my physical cue for plus two. It's always a thought.
Like, what's the thought? That's the cue.
The thought is I'm satisfied, but it's not resulting in weight loss.
Okay, then eat a quarter less.
I do that. I've done the half challenge. I've done the left hand challenge. I've done no TV.
No, I'm trying to, the last 3 weeks, eat less than what you normally eat.
Right. But that's where I keep going round and round, because if I'm unsatisfied, do I just walk away unsatisfied?
Yeah. What do you want to be satisfied in, weight loss, or do you want to be satisfied in your mouth? Which one?
Well, what I'm trying to ask is, if I know that I'm not satisfied.
How do you know?
Because I have the thought I'm still hungry.
Right, but that's just a thought.
Yes.
How do you physically know that you're not?
If I wait about a half an hour and I still feel hungry in my tummy and my thoughts are still thinking about food.
You said you're not having physical sensations, but now we're having physical sensations.
Right. So when I tried my physical challenge, I get a little burp and a big burp, and my big burp has always been my +2 satisfied, and I can go 4 to 5 hours. So this week I'm trying my little burp.
No burping. We have to burp. If you're burping, that means there's no room in the inn.
Ay, ay, ay. That's not even, what? My tiny burp is hungry again in an hour. So,
let me just put it to you like this. If I was to say, we can lose weight if you're willing to be hungry.
Yes, I'm willing to get to -3 and -4 a lot, but I don't understand why I should stop at -1, because that's...
I'm not stopping at -1.
All right.
You never once told me I'm a -1. Burping is not a -1.
Okay.
You know how I know?
Tell me.
Because your stomach is pushing air back up because there's too much food in it.
Okay.
That's what a burp is. That's what that part is. It's saying, hey, this fist is full. So any air, I got to shove it out the top. Or it's going to come out your ass as a fart, one or the other. Like, air is going somewhere. That's what we know.
Okay, so if I stop before the burp, ay, 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 I'm so unsatisfied. I'm not satisfied.
I know, but you're very unsatisfied with 20 pounds gained. So where do you want to have your unsatisfaction?
I'd rather wait on hunger longer, which I'm really good at, but... So if I'm supposed to stop before the burp, how do I know when to stop? Oh.
This is what I want you to do. I want you to just try this for 2 weeks and then watch the scale.
Okay.
I want you to eat half of what you eat now, every single meal.
Yes.
Serve half, and you're not going back.
And walk away.
Like Beyonce waving bye to the people.
Oh. All right.
Your brain is already spinning that this is going to be a problem. This is why our hunger scale on the +2 side seems hard. Because you have orchestrated this to be a problem, and I'm going to be unsatisfied. I'm going to be miserable. What if you're none of those things? Like, what if after 2 or 3 days?
Well, all my past experiences have been, I'm thinking about food an hour later, and I don't want to think about food all day.
Okay, then stop thinking about it. You don't have to eat to quit thinking. You can stop thinking and be like, this is wasted energy. That'd be like me saying, oh my God, what is your real name? It's not Brayden.
I'm Amber. I'm sorry. I'm Amber. I've never changed my original PNP membership, and I'm Amber.
It's okay. So let's just pretend if I was like, oh my God, Amber, like you're my accountability buddy.
Yes.
I'm like, I can't get anything done all day. Like Jason Momoa is up in my head. Like I've got to fuck him. Like there's no tomorrow. Like I'm not even working anymore. I just don't want to think about Jason Momoa all day. What do you think I should do? Should I go like stalk him and do him to solve my problem?
But if I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Oh,
not Jason Momoa. You don't know. Like. Loins are in like legit moist land.
Oh, this analogy is not working for me. I'm trying.
It is the same though. The reason why it's not working is because you think mine is ridiculous and you don't think yours is. If I literally was like, I had a guy that lived next door to me that I could not quit thinking about and I wanted to go do, and my husband is sitting right there and the JJ was lit on fire, which happens. This is why people cheat on people. Your advice would not be, well, I know you're so unsatisfied, you should probably just go over there and grab his ass and get busy. You would say, like, girl, isn't your goal to stay married? I don't care how much you woo-woo aches for that guy. You're going to have the same conversation with yourself until you get to where you quit thinking about food. Because this is the thing. I want you to re-listen to this call. You did not tell me, like, when you got exasperated and frustrated, you went straight to, I don't want to think about food all day. That's my problem. It's not, well, Corinne, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to, like, have all the hunger problems and, like, my stomach flattens out. Like, you keep describing it as a thought problem because it is a thought problem. You're allowing yourself to think about food when you need to be thinking about something else.
But why would I stop before I'm satisfied if that's your plan? That's the
main. How about you practice learning how to redirect your brain? And then eventually, I would bet you money. If you gained 20 pounds, I'm just going to tell you, Amber.
Well, that's fixing binging and planning overeating and all that. I've been at the 20 for a long time and really happy about that. But now I'm ready to go the other way.
Okay. Then what price are you willing to pay? You tell me. What is the price you're willing to pay to go the other way?
The price that I have been paying is staying longer at -3 and -4. That's been easy to manage my mind on because I'm super hungry. But when it comes to the food time, I'm like, can I be done eating now so I can think about other things?
Right. That's where your work is. Your body is telling you if you would like to lose weight, you've got to get skilled at that side of the coin.
Right.
I'm frustrated that that's where the work is.
I've done the no TV. I've done the wait 10 minutes and eat half. I've done the left hand. I've done the things.
Oh. But you still have to eat less. Eating with your left hand doesn't mean you're eating less. It just means you're eating slower.
Right. I have slowed it down.
Great. Now we got to eat less. Like, I want to know, are you willing to pay the price of eating less? Or not?
You're asking me if I'm willing to be unsatisfied.
Yeah, you're already, but I'm going to point out to you, you look super unsatisfied now.
Very much.
Yeah, so we're already there. Now I want you to be unsatisfied where weight loss happens, rather than being unsatisfied that you're not losing weight. We're already suffering unsatisfied. Let's just do it with a better result.
All right.
What is the worst thing that's going to happen if for 2 weeks you eat less than you want and have to think about food and redirect your brain? What is the worst that's going to happen?
The same thing I've been doing for months where I try different experiments of eating less and
I don't want you doing different experiments. I want you doing one thing, eating less. Like, you're not going to finish anything.
I've done that.
Great.
I've done that. I've left 2-3 bites. I've done that challenge.
No, I said a quarter. That's not 2 or 3. I want you to quit thinking about what you've done. I want you to think about what you're willing to do. You're like all about your past. Like, this is what you're doing. You're saying, like, I want to argue with you about why I can hang on to my 20 pounds. I want you to tell me something like what if I was to say, I tell you what, Amber, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm sure it'll eventually come off. I mean,
Kathy, I know it sounds like I'm arguing with you. I'm trying to understand how to simplify this. Am I shooting for a +1? Because clearly my +2 is too much. So I'm trying to make this easy. And if I stop at not hungry, that's different than satisfied, I think. If I stop at I'm not hungry anymore is what I...
Stop at not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make it simpler?
I think so.
Okay. If it makes it easier to think of it that way, then do that. But you're still going to eat the same amount.
Okay.
It's not 2-3 bites.
It's half.
Show me with your hands the average size of a salad for you.
Oh boy. I don't know. It's a little bigger than a cereal bowl and not as big as a Pyrex bowl. So pretty decent size.
Okay. Let's try the cereal bowl.
Okay.
Just start with that. Like, start with one easy thing. Like, when you eat baked Lays, do you count them out, like, as a serving? And you just grab some? Or how do you do your baked Lays?
I've been trying to stay away from counting and weighing because that's old me. And I've been trying to really tune into when I'm hungry and not hungry.
I know. I'm just asking you a question. Like, you're going into, like, dramatics about it. I'm just asking you for, like, you said you wanted to make it easy. I'm going to make things easy for you. So do you count?
Sometimes I count things, yeah. Like, I weigh out chickpeas or cheese or dressing, and sometimes I don't.
Okay, let's just, like, make it super simple. Uh-huh. When you eat chips, do you eat chips regularly?
No, it's not. It's infrequent. It's on my protocol, but it's infrequent.
Okay. When you eat things that aren't, like, let's say they just sprout up through the ground, mm-hmm. just make sure we're eating about the serving size. You don't have to get out measuring and everything, but, you know, just start being very conscious of making sure you're having a serving and not just putting some on your plate and relying. Because this is what I see a lot of people do. I don't know that you're doing this, but I want to say this for all the people watching. You put on your plate what you think, like, is like, I'm just going to put some on my plate. I'm going to rely on my hunger scale and everything. And then you're eating, and then your thoughts of, I don't want to be hungry later. I'm trying to figure out where my plus two is. All of that comes in, and you end up eating what you serve. So if you're having a hard time with plus two, what I'm trying to get you to is, let's control what we put to begin with, and that's where we control the plus two. We start smaller. That way you're not sitting there and you're having all of your thoughts around being hungry later and all that stuff jacking around with while you're trying to eat left-handed and do all these other things. Let's just start with less and then go from there.
Okay.
You don't have to eat a quarter. You can just, like, you can eat what you want. Like, I still want you to be mindful. I want you to practice the habit of paying attention.
Yeah.
But I want you to start with less than you're used to giving yourself. And try it from that side and see if that happens.
Yeah, you, all the chatter in my brain, all the chatter. All right.
I just want you to watch the call. I want you to just notice that your biggest issue is not your hunger scale. Your biggest issue is your fear of being hungry. You spent a lot of time through the call talking about that.
And, like, I talked about this with Betsy and Kathy a lot, about managing my mind when I'm hungry enough that I can't concentrate on my clients. And they're like, so? And I'm like, but if I'm hungry enough that I can't concentrate on my real work in life, food is not my real work in life. So we've talked about that on office hours too, but.
Yeah, I'm hungry right now. I've coached my face off for 3 straight hours.
I'm okay with the negative side. I can sit with that. I'm so good with that side. All right.
All right, well, let me just say then you're good with hunger.
True. And I'm not okay never being satisfied through the day. I definitely have restriction, dieting, bodybuilding shit kicking in when I say I will not be satisfied at all during the day because I'm shooting for unsatisfied. That's the shit that's coming up.
But your brain is going to, the only way to feel satisfied is with food. And I'm trying to get you to say the best way to feel satisfied is to make a choice that gets me to my goal.
Yeah.
You're tying it all into the food. It's all about the food is what pleasures me. The food is what satisfies me. The food is what makes me feel good. It makes me feel bad. Like, you've got your emotions tied up around the eating part of it. And I'm like, there's life sitting right here waiting for you. That's where satisfaction happens. Getting your goals. That's where satisfaction happens. You don't even have to be frustrated if you're hungry, unless you just want to be frustrated because you're hungry. You don't have to be distracted by thoughts around food. If you choose to stop, like, every time you want to go there, you'd be like, no. It would be like if you have a puppy and he wants to chew on furniture and you're just like, well, I got this puppy, he wants to chew on furniture. I guess there's nothing I can do about it. I've just got to let him chew. It's like, no, you would teach him how to quit chewing on furniture. You got to teach your brain how to quit obsessing about food by making it be like, nope, that's not what we're thinking about right now. We don't obsess about food. It's just like what I told Ivy and Permie. If you didn't have that, what do you got?
Lots. That's why I want to click this last thing into place, because it's great.
How about we just do what Corinne said, make less, and we don't get to think about food anymore. We stop that bullshit, and we work on the lots. Because when you're spinning out over here, you don't have to address life. Life just gets to keep on rolling over here.
All right.
I know you don't feel better, but great.
Everyone in my life is like, you have a poison thought, you have result truth issues, you have a belief problem. And I'm like, I'm just going to ask Corinne about plus two because I think I might have a manual for my body. I got all kinds of other stuff going on, but everything in most of my life is going so great. And I'm like, what is the problem? Because I have been so focused on my hunger cues. It has been like, I will get this, and still not there yet. I know that, but I'm just like, all right, I tried the Betsy things. I tried the Kathy things. I tried the hunger scale challenges. I've done. Yeah. So I'm definitely like.
So stop being frustrated that you keep trying and be proud that you keep trying. Like quit. Yeah. Being, like, you're going to have to lower the temperature on yourself. I want you to watch it all. You describe it like a mess. You experience it like a mess. Yeah. You will create a mess.
That's why I needed to talk to you, because I've done Facebook posts and all the office hours. And I'm like, I need the queen because I'm missing. And if the answer is to serve half, that has a lot of shit already in it.
Oh, need to do some models on that. Just be like, I'm serving half because I really want to solve my problem, or I really want to understand this, or I really want to lose weight. And you're like, I'm going to eat half, and this is for sure going to fuck my world up. That's a terrible model that you got to clean up. It's like, you can either be doing this for yourself or you can be doing it to yourself. But you need to realize that you are doing it because you're choosing it. Just decide, am I going to do it the hard way or am I going to do it the easy way? But that's always going to be my decision, nobody else's.
Okay, so the thought I'm satisfied is no longer what I'm going for. And I'm going for serving half, and I will satisfy myself with other thoughts of satisfaction. But I'm not using that as a cue anymore. Correct?
I wouldn't. It's not working for you. You've got like all this evidence that doesn't work for you. So stop using it. Stop going down that rabbit hole. Just be like, here's what I want to do. This is how much I'm eating. And then when I'm done eating, I'm not thinking about food anymore until the next time it's time to eat. That's it. And when I want to think about food and obsess about food, I'm going to tell myself, I am like, we just started over. Who better than me than someone who owns -3 and -4 to wait? I don't think you've made that connection that you're so proud of the -3 and -4, and you've said it like 1,000 times how well you do it. The moment you eat, you start the clock on the -3, -4. You think you have somehow, I don't know what's going on with this -2, and you stay in this scared mentality rather than like, bring it. No one better than me to go to a 3 or 4.
Because I know I'll feel satisfied after I eat again. Shit.
Satisfied with life, mama. Satisfied with life.
All right.
Get it boring. You can enjoy your food while you're having it. And then after that, it's just boring again. All right. I can put my mind somewhere else.
All right. Write stuff down real quick. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Good call.
Thanks. Bye.
I love a good animated call. I swear to God. It's like the highlight of my day. All right, guys, we went over. We're going to get out of here. I will see you guys next month. Trying to think if there's anything I wanted to tell the Queen's Club. I don't think so. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you guys. In September, I think we're not having a masterclass with the coaches. You are having a maintenance Q&A with me. We're doing something a little different for that month. What I want to do is, you don't have to be in maintenance, but I want you to bring all your questions and stuff about maintenance to the call so I can answer them. And then we're going to use all of that to help us build out some maintenance lessons and all the things and that kind of stuff. So you guys are going to help me figure it out. And who better than the Queen's Club to bring all the maintenance issues and fears and questions and how do you do it and blah, blah, blah. September 18th, maintenance Q&A, 4 p.m. Central. Okay? Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.